Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
This is the Average Conservationist podcast brought to you by Outdoor Class and in partner with 2% for Conservation. Outdoor Class is the new single source of premium outdoor education from trusted, knowledgeable experts. For hunters committed to improving their skills, Outdoor Class is the only subscription-based e-learning platform that provides unlimited access to video lessons from the world's most respected experts covering topics across a hunter's entire journey. Learn from industry leaders like Corey Jacobson, Randy Newberg, Remy Warren, and other prominent personalities in the organizations. Sign up today and use code AVERAGE to save 20%. 2% for Conservation's mission is to create an alliance of businesses and individuals that ensure the future of hunting and angling by committing their time and dollars to fish and wildlife. 1% of your time plus 1% of your money equals 2% for Conservation. 2% helps businesses and people pair with conservation causes to support things that fit what they care about. Whether you're into fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, 2% can help you not only start giving back to wildlife, but get certified for it. Getting 2% certified means you've made the same commitment as popular brands like Sitka, Stone Glacier, and Seek Outside in giving at least 1% of your time and dollars back to wildlife. But it's not just for outdoor companies. Breweries, contractors, coffee roasters, and even piano repair companies have earned 2% certification and stand out as leaders in their communities for doing so. Businesses that are committed to conservation deserve your business when you shop. Learn more about 2% for Conservation at fishandwildlife.org. That's fishandwildlife.org. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Average Conservationist podcast, and I'm your host, Marcus Ewing. All right, so I'm going to change things up a little bit today. No guest today. It's just going to be me riding solo. So for those of you tuning in who are expecting a guest, I apologize. Feel free to turn it off. Tune in next week. I don't know. What I really wanted to take a little bit of time today, and as I'm recording this, it is Giving Tuesday. And as I look around on social media, various organizations or various companies that I support, or that support the podcast that have some type of affiliation with 2% for Conservation are doing some really cool things in terms of their way to give back. And I think that throughout the whole hustle and bustle of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know, the whole holiday craze, and the conservation organizations, or maybe not even, let's not even narrow it, or yeah, let's not narrow it down to conservation orgs specifically, but just these different nonprofits. And I think that this is a great time for us as outdoorsmen, as outdoors women, just outdoor recreationists, because you know that encompasses everything, in my opinion. But I think now is a good time for us to, you know, look at gifting memberships to some of these organizations, especially if you have some friends or some family who are or who share, I guess. Hobbies. Jeez, oh, Pete's. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But share hobbies or interests as it pertains to the outdoors. And maybe they're not a member of Mule Deer Foundation or Backcountry Hunters and Anglers or the National Deer Association or any of these, you know, tremendous organizations that are out there, and give them the gift of a membership. $35 or $25, depending, I mean, you know, somewhere in that range, is a lot better gift for your brother-in-law than some lotto tickets, a pair of socks, a novelty t-shirt. You know, the list goes on and on, right? But it's amazing how much that membership means to these organizations. It allows them to continue to do their good work day in, day out. It pays for, you know, the overhead of their staff who have committed to and, you know, made conservation their profession at this point. So it's certainly something that I would like all of you to consider. And, you know, for those out there who are already members of any type of, again, any type of organization, you know, first kudos to you for seeing, you know, the importance behind these organizations. But I challenge you to take things one step further. And for some, this, I don't want to say it's falling on deaf ears, but maybe it just doesn't pertain to you. And you'll see why here. So what I challenge everyone out there to do is volunteer some time. Take that next step of not just becoming or not just being a member of these organizations. You know, reach out to, you know, if it's Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, reach out to, you know, your local chapter. Try to find out who is in charge of setting up, you know, whether it's a pint night, whether it's a cleanup, you know, whatever type of volunteer event that there is that you can get involved in. I challenge you to do that. And again, some of you out there are already doing this, and awesome. Thank you. We need, you know, more people volunteering their time. But if not, if it's, maybe it's something you've thought about, maybe you've been a little bit apprehensive, maybe you just, it's out of your comfort zone a little bit. Hey, I get that. I've certainly been there before. But I challenge you to do it. Now is such a great time, and it's a great way to give back. It is a great way to meet a lot of like-minded individuals, who share a lot of the same interests and hobbies that you do. And you never know, you may make some lifelong friends, some hunting buddies, whatever you want to call it, out of the experience. And going back to, or kind of piggybacking off of what I just mentioned there with, you know, stepping out of that comfort zone a little bit, you know, now is the time of year where a lot of boards, a lot of volunteers are starting to, they're starting to get burnt out. It's been a long year. I actually recorded a podcast about this particular topic, conservation burnout. I recorded it with Jared Frazier back in October of 2020. It was episode 21. I highly encourage, it's a long one, but I highly encourage you guys to go back to the archives a little bit. If you're going to be on the road, you got a couple hours to kill, and check out that episode because Jared talks about some stuff in terms of conservation burnout that are very important that, you know, volunteers, it's something that we all run into. And what you tend to find with a lot of volunteers is maybe, you know, let's, I don't even want to name anyone by example. Let's just say John Smith. You know, John Smith volunteers on his local chapter of the National Deer Association. He volunteers, you know, and that's how you know John, right? That's where you see John. That's where you interact with John. But there is a very high probability that John is also performing those same voluntary duties with likely one to two to three other organizations as well. And that takes its toll on people. And, you know, these aren't, you know, people aren't volunteering for the accolades. They're not volunteering for the attaboys and the slap on the backs and all that good stuff. They're volunteering because it's, they feel it's the right thing to do. And I agree with that. And look, I don't want to disparage anyone for not volunteering their time. I know that we all have lives and we all have a ton of stuff going on. And I mean, that's why this is the Average Conservationist podcast, because we're all average, you know, we're all average people. But going back to what I was saying there is that's how we lose a lot of volunteers.
a lot of great volunteers is they just get burnt out. They don't know when to say no. So if you're listening and perhaps you're in that position, perhaps you're looking at your list of commitments that you've made, and you're just, you know, kind of starting to look ahead to 2023, and you're starting to think about maybe some, you know, conservation goals, some, you know, career goals, personal goals, whatever the case is, you know, in a lot of likelihood, the conservation, the volunteer goals are the ones that tend to be the first to get cut, just because it is volunteering your time. But instead of, you know, being a board member for a local chapter, or for hell, even a national chapter, instead of just walking away completely, take a step back, you know, let your counterparts know how you're feeling, where you at, because it's very likely that they are either feeling that as well, or they have been there in the past, or maybe they're newer and they just haven't got to that point yet. It's a very good conversation to have. Keep everything out in the open. And, you know, instead of just walking away completely, as I said, you know, just take a step back, say, hey, you know, I can't fulfill my duties as a board member next year. I just, I'm burnt out. I just don't have the bandwidth for it, you know, whatever the case is. And, you know, then also say, hey, but what I would like to do is, if possible, fill a role in this capacity, which still keeps you involved. It still keeps you, you know, putting in your hours, you know, putting those boots on the ground, doing, you know, advocacy for whatever the cause may be. And that is equally as important, because one, it still keeps you involved, but two, it also gives someone else potentially an opportunity to step in and maybe bring some new ideas to the board or to the organization. And, you know, maybe that person's, you know, kind of, I don't want to say been on the sidelines, but they've been, you know, volunteering at local events and things like that, but they want to take that next step. They want to make the jump, right? They want to have a seat at the table, so to speak. And it's going to give them a great opportunity to do that. So I don't want people to, you know, listen to this and be like, oh, well, shit, you know, he said, you know, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And don't take what I'm saying as gospel. You know, just take it as recommendations. And really, a lot of the things that I'm telling you here is all coming secondhand from Jared, which, again, if you listen to that episode, you'll hear him go into great detail there. And, you know, Jared's been, you know, living this conservation life for quite a while. I mean, he, you know, not only is the executive director of 2% for Conservation, but he's also dealing with other conservation organizations on a daily basis. So he sees that, you know, his peers, his friends, coworkers, all of these things are all operating in this same space. So he sees this, you know, day in and day out, and, you know, has an opportunity to have a lot of these conversations with volunteers, or, you know, even with, you know, paid board members and things like that with various organizations. So it's, I think it's certainly something that should be addressed if you're feeling that way. If that gas tank's full and you're ready to crush the end of the year, to hit the ground running in the new year, hey, good for you. That's awesome. The conservation space needs that enthusiasm, that vigor, all that good stuff, whatever adjective you want to throw at it. Another thing that I want to challenge all of you on as well, and I feel like maybe I should have done this episode a few weeks ago coming off of Org Month, but, you know, making your voice heard. You know, there's a, leading into Org Month, I had kind of the conservation reset that I talked about, a few of the kind of hot button, big ticket conservation bills, policies, whatever you would like to call them, that are out there right now, and how, you know, we should be voicing our opinions to our representatives, letting them know how we feel, whether it's a bill that we propose or that we're in favor of, or it's one that we're opposed to. Either way, you know, it's kind of our civic duty as outdoorsmen and outdoorswomen to express our opinions, to let our voices be heard. And one of the bills that's out there is the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, which I had a guest on a separate podcast, Drew Youngdyke, who works for the National Wildlife Federation here in Michigan. And we spent a decent amount of time speaking about that. And one of the things that Drew brought up and that I really liked was he talked about, you know, putting things in place so that we could avoid having things or avoid having animals and various species land on that endangered species list. You know, trying to be essentially proactive in our approach to conservation instead of being reactive. And, you know, if you've, you know, listened to any number of episodes over the course of the last couple of years, you've either heard myself talk about that or you've heard Jared Frazier talk about that as well. And that's one of the things as conservationists that we're really, really good at being reactive. When something is put out in front of us that really goes against everything that we stand for as hunters, as anglers, as, you know, just overall outdoor recreationists, we are very quick to unite, to jump up, to scream and shout, to, you know, again, let our voices be heard. And that's tremendous. Every single one of you out there listening deserves a very big round of applause for doing that, because you know, it shows you what we can do when we're all united, when we're all on the same page, when we're all in agreement. Which, it's funny how when it comes to the outdoors and conservation, how quickly we all want to come to the aid of one another and look at the big picture. And you know, a lot of times, kind of just in the general landscape of the world, that is not the case right now. So it's certainly nice to see things come together in that particular arena. But, you know, the being proactive about these things, I mean, it's almost the first, I know it's not a first, but in recent history, in recent memory, it feels like it's a first time where we're trying to get out ahead of things. We're trying to put things in place to make sure that, against, you know, species and animals don't end up on these endangered lists, because we had a really good talk, Drew and I, about the effects of lead in our tackle and ammo when we're, you know, hunting and fishing, and how, you know, using non-lead tackle and ammo has such a positive impact on the species, whether it's a deer that you kill, whether it's a fish that you catch, whatever the case is, like after the kill, the effects after the kills is, I believe, how Drew proposed it. So it's one of those things that we never want to see things get to a point where we have to rally, where we have to come together. We want to make sure that these wildlife agencies, these biologists, you know, people who know a lot about these species, give them the tools to do their job to the, you know, best of their abilities, and rely on the, you know, rely on science and figures and data and all that good stuff to help make these decisions as it pertains to our wildlife and our herds and populations and all of that stuff. I think that is, it's critical as we go forward, as the, you know, urban sprawl continues to progress, and, you know, more public land, unfortunately, is sold off, and, you know, places for these wild animals to live is just, it's not there. We're not growing any more land. So it's, I really just wanted to take a second and, you know, just kind of talk about some of the things that were on my mind. I think maybe Giving Tuesday just has me in my feelings a little bit, because I see all these great things that, you know, these companies are out here doing and trying to raise money for. And I think it's a great thing. And, you know, from where I sit here in Michigan, you know, watching companies, you know, whether it's here in the state of Michigan, whether it's, you know, out west somewhere, it's down south, you know, wherever it is, watching them, you know, put their money where their mouth is, to be passionate about their mission, about the mission of conservation, is very inspiring. And I just wanted to, I guess, express that, talk about ways that we can do it, talk about ways that, you know, we can stay in the fight, not get burned out, continue to do, you know, all these great things for wildlife, wild places, conservation, all of it. I've been talking for 20 minutes. Feels like I've been talking for an hour. I don't know how people who run solo on podcasts every day do it. My guess is they're probably a bit more prepared than I was. I just sat down and started talking. And 20 minutes feels like it's enough. Feels like it's enough of me talking at you, preaching. I don't feel like I'm preaching, but just feels like it's enough of me talking at you. So I hope everyone out there had a great Thanksgiving. If you're still trying to punch a tag, good luck. If you're just wrapping up with your season, if you're switching modes, if you're ready for, you know, the holidays, if you're ready for, you know, just winter activities, good for you. I wish, you know, all of you nothing but luck when it comes to that, especially if you're still out there trying to punch some late season tags, which I am in that category as well. My freezer is very, very close to empty, and I have not been in the field in a good 3 weeks. So woe is me. But thanks for joining me this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Stay tuned next week. We have Hank Shaw from Outdoor Class joining me. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about food. Wild game, and, you know, all the cool stuff that that Hank has going on. So until next week, everyone, stay safe out there, and remember that conservation starts with you.